are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled Building a Legacy of Faith, is a special message based on the book of Joshua and is taught by Pastor Vince Arnaldo. For more information, visit woodbridgechurch.org.
Well, good morning to you all. All right, are you all awake? Oh, no. Well, it's a beautiful day out there. Well, the topic for today's message is building a legacy of faith. I think it's important that we celebrate the ministry and sacrifice of those who have served with us and before us. Those are legacies that are passed on from generation to generation. And whether we like it or not, our lives are affected either negatively or positively by those role models that have gone before us. I'd like to share with you a person who has influenced my life a great deal. And some of you have prayed for me when my mother fell ill last month and I had to make an emergency trip to the Philippines. I want to say thank you to all of you who prayed for me. I was able to spend 2 whole weeks with my mother, just being by her side, holding her hand, even when she was asleep. And in her waking moments, we would talk about the good old days. One time I was reminding my mother of all the funny stories, and I was a joker when I was a kid. All the funny stories and trouble I would get into when I was growing up, and I made her laugh so hard that she told me, "Get out, get out! Don't make me laugh so hard!" She had a feeding tube connected to her stomach, and it probably hurt whenever she laughed. But I guess when you reach a point when even laughing becomes painful, you know your time is up. My mom passed away 2.5 weeks ago, but I know she's with the Lord. I know that because for the last 7 years, I would go home every year whenever we'd go on mission trips in the Philippines, and I would visit her then, and I would ask her about her faith in Jesus Christ. And every year, she would give me the same answer. She would say, "Jesus is always in my heart." This last time, as soon as I got to the hospital, I prayed for her, and she was asleep for the most part. But as I asked her about her faith in Jesus, she understood. She opened her eyes, and she gave me the very same answer she would give me year after year. "Jesus is always in my heart." And that's how I know that my mom is with Jesus now. Not just in her heart, but together with him in his heavenly kingdom. For the Bible says in John 17:3, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." When I said my goodbye to my mother, I told her I was going back to California, but I will visit her again in July. She opened her eyes and looked at me, and she already had the onset of dementia, so at times she's disoriented, but this time she recognized me. She reached out her hand and embraced me and said, "I love you very much." What a tremendous parting gift she has given me. And so we hugged, and then she went back to sleep. And then I took one last look at her, knowing that I may never see her again alive. And that was my last memory of my mother. She gave me enough loving memories that would last me for a lifetime. My prayer is that this legacy of love that she has given me, I would be able to pass on to my children and grandchildren and for many generations to come. Legacy. What an important word. Last week, Pastor Danny spoke on the first chapter of Joshua, and he talked about the journey, and sometimes we become afraid of the future, and God has to come alongside us many times to encourage us to keep following him even when it's so difficult, and not to give up, but rather be courageous because he is with us in the journey. His presence is with us. And this amazing race that we are running for Jesus, he is with us every step of the way. And that's the theme of our family camp this August. We call it the amazing race. In fact, that will be our whole focus for this whole summer, running this race that the Lord has set before us, and what it means to run it well. Today I will speak on the last chapter of Joshua and what it's like to be near the end of the race And why it's important that we build a spiritual legacy that will continue to change lives for God's kingdom long after we are gone. Let's all stand and read our passage for today, Joshua 24, 14 to 15. And this is what it says, verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. May God bless the reading of His word, Lord. May You speak to us today, and may Your word, the scriptures, fulfill its role and speak to our hearts with its truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. What is legacy? Legacy is that which is handed down from one generation to another. It could be material things like money, property, or land. It could be immaterial, such as values and culture. You see, whether we like it or not, we pass on something to those who follow us, and it can either be good or bad. In April 30th, 2010, Ola May Aggie, age 87, was sentenced to serve 18 months in prison for selling crack cocaine from her Florida home. Can you imagine that? 87 years old, selling drugs. I mean, what's happening to America? When I first heard this, the first thought that came to my mind was, where are the parents? I mean, why are they allowing her to roam the streets at night dealing drugs, you know? Didn't they teach her anything? I'm just kidding. That's your joke, John. But you can only blame so much on the parents. But the truth is, whether it is in our homes, our families, we will pass on something to our children, to the next generation. Or whether it's in church, we will pass on something to our youth. We eventually will become the adults that will represent the future of America. It is important that we have these conversations now. According to our Man Food speaker last month, this is what he says, Jim Burns. He said the church in general is not doing very well in passing on a legacy of faith. He said that a child who has grown up in a good church, like this church, when they graduate from high school, 6 out of 10 of them will drop out of church within a year. And that's just the state of youth ministry across the board all throughout the United States. The good news is those odds of those kids staying in church increase by 300% when there are positive spiritual conversations in the home. And that's how to build a legacy of faith. That's how you pass it on, through spiritual conversations in the home. So how do you build a legacy of faith? Well, here it is. First of all, legacy is personal and intentional. Joshua said, "As for me," he said, "as for me." Serving the Lord is a personal choice that starts with the parents, particularly the father. That was what Joshua said. He took the personal responsibility seriously to lead his family in following the Lord. Next week is Father's Day. And Dr. Warner Carr will be sharing his and Cheryl's testimony. Now, Warner has an amazing story that you wouldn't believe. I had the privilege of getting to know him better during our study trip to Israel. Warner was a colonel in the U.S. Army during the Iraq War. And he was the personal physician of Saddam Hussein when he was under U.S. military custody awaiting for his trial for war crimes. I tell you, invite your friends for next Father's Day, next Sunday. You will not be disappointed. But I cannot overemphasize the role of fathers in shaping the future of America. Irving Kristol, an American columnist and journalist, once quoted the startling fact that almost 2/3 of rapists, 3/4 of adolescent murderers, And 3/4 of long-term prison inmates were abandoned by their fathers. Those are the startling statistics. Well-known prison evangelist Bill Glass often says, "Not everyone with a father problem ends up in prison, but virtually everyone in prison has a father problem." Fathers, we certainly have our work cut out for us. So dads, I just have one challenge to you. Commit to passing on a legacy of faith to your children, your grandchildren, and generations to come. And you never quit from doing that. You do that until the day God calls you home. There's this story about this father who was a very successful businessman. All his life, he was obsessed with building his business. So at the end of his life, when he was at his deathbed, he called for all his loved ones. He called for his wife, present, his eldest son, here, his eldest daughter, here, every one of his 6 children, down to the youngest son, here, present. He even asked for his favorite dog, a Doberman named Hitler. But then as he looked around the room and he saw everybody there, a thought came to his mind and he says, "Wait, if all of you are here, then who's minding the store?" Dads, don't be like that, okay? At the end of your life, the last thing you want to be thinking about is who's minding the store. King Solomon, as he was reaching the end of his life's journey, he labeled material wealth as meaningless. He said in Ecclesiastes 2:4-11, he said, "I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees and all of them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far anyone in Jerusalem before me. And in all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing that my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun." That is why in the end, King Solomon concluded, and this is what he said in Ecclesiastes 12:1. He says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" King Solomon was always minding the store, thinking about material things, how he could become richer and greater and more famous. But as he grew older, he regretted that he did not leave behind a spiritual legacy for the next generation. King Solomon had a divided heart for God, and so he left behind a divided kingdom, and there was civil war that broke Israel into two. That was his legacy. You see, it's okay to grow old. In the Bible, aging is seen as a desirable thing, but growing old was always associated with wisdom. Godly wisdom. That is what makes aging meaningful and fulfilling. Your spiritual passion is supposed to increase with time and with age. But if growing old makes you worldly wise, like Solomon, but lacking in godly wisdom, then growing old will become a meaningless and burdensome process. Lots of dads are in the men's retreat today, and it's being led by Pastor Frank. That's why they're not here. And let's pray for them that they would return transformed by the Word of God and more committed to being better fathers and husbands to their families, leaders in their spheres of influence. Second, legacy is generational. He said, "As for me and my house." Joshua talked about his household and how serving the Lord was a core value that he intentionally passes on to his whole house, to the next generation. Unfortunately, passing on these godly values are no longer a priority in the church today. In Europe, the so-called cradle of Christianity, the church has become more of a relic rather than a symbol of hope and salvation. Former Archbishop of Canterbury, Lord Carey, once said that unless the church makes a substantial breakthrough in attracting young people back into the faith, Christianity in Britain is just a generation away from extinction. That's the same problem we are facing in America today. Dr. James Dobson, the foremost family advocate and activist, once compared passing on a spiritual legacy to running a relay race. And he said that everyone who runs relay races know that races are won or lost in the passing of the baton. The point is this, just as legacy of faith is passed on from generation to generation, generational sins are also passed on from generation to generation. If you grew up in a home environment where conflicts were resolved by lots of screaming and shouting, then you will probably resort to a lot of screaming and shouting in raising your kids. Why? Because that's all you know. And that's why change has to be intentional. My wife and I went to a lot of seminars on parenting and marriage. We read numerous books and watched several videos on the subject. We wanted to be better parents so we can give a better future to our kids. And we knew that the best gift we can give them is not lots of money, which we didn't have, but rather spiritual character. We realized more than ever that the Bible really works. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Number three, legacy is corporate. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is a shared value that is more caught than taught. Joshua said, "We." He didn't just say, "I." He said, "We." In a sense, this verse is the mission statement of Joshua's family. His mission statement is, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." When my wife and I were starting a family, we agreed on a mission statement. We were bothered by the casualty among pastors' kids, growing up in a negative environment and turning their backs on the church. So we agreed on a mission statement. And this is the Arnaldo family mission statement. It's to raise a family serving the Lord together in an atmosphere of fun. Our kids did not see ministry as a burden, nor do they see ministry as competing for their time with me. Why? Because I included them as my partners in ministry. And it was always fun. You know, we live in a condo that's just roughly around 1,000 square feet, very small, but it was also always filled with people. Happy people, smiling people, laughing people. At one time, we had an open house party in my place, and it was open to anyone in church. And we had more than 100 people. In our small condo, there were people out there in the patio, there was people out there in our carport, people out there in the street. And it was elbow to elbow, you know. If you move from your spot, somebody else will take it right away, so you better not leave your spot. But there were lots of laughter and energy, and all the children were in our kids' room playing. Ministry was fun. Even during our family time, we were laughing most of the time. We had lots of church picnics in the park, and Woodbridge Lake was something that we went to regularly. Had picnics there. It's also filled with fun and laughter and lots of food too, you know, barbecues. Sure, we had problems just like any other family, but it never dimmed our laughter. And that is why up to today, all my kids are involved in ministry. It was a positive experience that had lots and lots of happy memories for us as a family. And you know, when I see my kids hanging out with their friends, they're the ones who laugh the loudest. Right? Now, some of you may be thinking, oh, I don't have any children anymore. My children are already grown. This verse still applies to you because you still have a growing family, this church family. You and I have an obligation to this church to pass on our faith to those that will follow after us, to build and mentor and disciple them in the Word of God, to be a good example to them in faith and character. June 2016 is the 10th year anniversary of the opening of this building and Building B. Pastor Frank tells me of the stories that he heard about Woodbridge Community Church and how the first few members took mortgages on their homes in order to pay for this land that the church has been built on, which cost about $150,000 back then. In a sense, we benefit from the sacrifices of those that have gone before us. They saw a vision of what the future could be in terms of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to meet, know, and follow Jesus. And that motivated them to make sacrifices on our behalf. And now, 45 years after the incorporation of this church, we owe it to them and to the Lord to make our own sacrifices in our own generation so that we can pass on this vision to those that will follow after us. We stand on the shoulders of giants, giants in the faith, and this building is a legacy, a testament of their faith in the Lord, which they passed on to us, and we intend to pass on to those that will follow us. I'm a first-time grandfather, and last May, my first grandson, Luke, celebrated his first birthday. He just started walking now. One time when I was doing my grandfather routine of putting him to sleep, I was so amazed at how time flies. My thoughts raced back to the time when I was putting my own son, Josh, his dad, to sleep in his crib. And I remember how I felt so overwhelmed. As a new dad, I did not know what the future held for him. And I did not know what would happen, whether I would have the spiritual strength to be able to raise him well, to help face the challenges that life and fatherhood would throw at me. I knew that in this world, so many things can go wrong. So right then and there, I knelt and I cried and I made my commitment to God to raise my son and my family, serving him. I know I will make a lot of mistakes, but I ask God to show me how to model to my children what serving the Lord means. Joshua 24:15 is an unswerving commitment to serve the Lord in our generation and passing it strong to the next. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a mission statement. How about you? What is your family's mission statement? You know the old saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will do. And I've seen so many families go this route, thinking everything is okay, life is good, as long as money keeps flowing in, until their kids hit teenage years. And then trouble starts. And then they're absolutely clueless where all that teenage rebellion and angst is coming from. It comes from this, a lack of a mission statement for your family. Like I always say, great kids don't just happen. You have to have a mission statement for your family. And that is what Joshua was telling the people of Israel. He said, choose today whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, this is our mission statement. We will serve the Lord. As for me, I speak for me and the generations that will follow after me. We will serve the Lord. And he was dead serious about it. He looked at them straight in the eye and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was that determined. If you're single and you say, oh, I don't have a family yet. Well, great. You should have a personal mission statement for yourself right now. What's the purpose of your life now? What motivates you to get up in the morning? What gives your life meaning and significance? Your mission statement will determine that. Or will you just take any road and any road will do? You know, I fear for my grandson's generation. We live in a day and age where it is increasingly more and more difficult to be a Christian. We live in troubled times. In a recent security seminar that our security team attended, they identified that one of the top five targets of terrorism today are houses of worship, churches. It's as if Christians are walking around with a bullseye plastered on their backs. Just last Friday, in a concert in Orlando, singer Christina Grimmie was shot to death while signing autographs for her fans after the show. Her shooter, James Loibel, shot her. Why? Because she was very outspoken about her Christian faith. Christina was the singer from New Jersey who finished third during the sixth season of NBC's The Voice in 2014. She began amassing a following on YouTube as a teenager, gripping online viewers with her powerful rendition of hit songs. Her videos on YouTube have garnered millions of views, and one of her YouTube videos, which has over 2.5 million views, is the song In Christ Alone, which she recorded even before she became famous. She made that stand already. You should look at it. It's very inspiring. The Santa Monica Observer writes, "It is difficult to find motive in the insane ravings of a madman like Kevin James Loibel, the person who shot her. But it's become clearly increasingly apparent to police from an examination of Loibel's cell phone and computer records that singer Christina Grimmie was murdered because of her outspoken Christian faith." T.J. Wilkins, another Voice competitor, wrote in her Twitter account, "What I'll always remember about you the most is our conversations about faith and the love of Christ." You know, I get inspired when I hear young people standing up for their faith in Jesus Christ, because we have so few of them. And great kids don't just happen. They're raised because parents raised them well, with a mission statement in their hearts and in their minds, with a tenacity and a determination to do everything that it would take to pass on a legacy of faith. What a testimony in her life and her death. And imagine the impact on her millions of viewers, the teenagers who look up to her. How about you? What will you be remembered by with those that come after you? It's never too early or too late to build a legacy of faith. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for inspiring us with the lives of people in the Bible. It's eternally imprinted there in your word, their life example of faith and sacrifice. Thank you for these people who have given of their time and resources, these people that we've honored today, day after day, week after week, year after year, they would serve faithfully, not wanting any attention to themselves. Lord, we think of our children. We think of the generations to come in a day and age when it's getting harder and harder to follow you, when it's getting to be more and more hip to attack Christians in the universities and in society, and to laugh and mock Christians openly. Lord, may you strengthen us. May this resolve in us to follow you only increase as we grow in age. May our passion never leave us. Like Joshua, may we be able to say that as for me and those that follow after me, we will serve the Lord. Make me stand as we sing this song again? If you study the Word of God, you'll find out that the Bible tells that following God is not going to be easy. All throughout the Scriptures, that has been consistently true. And Christianity has never been meant to be easy or something easy. Because anything that's worth doing is never going to be easy. And following God certainly is not going to be easy. Jesus even prophesied that in the last days, it's going to be harder and harder to follow God. Christianity was never meant to be a label that we call ourselves. It was meant to be a passion that we live out day to day. Something that we truly believe in, that we'll sacrifice for. That's what Christianity is. You know, sure, we have problems, we have worries. There's financial problems, all kinds of problems. And that's why we ask you, I'd like to ask Pastor Graham to come here and join me. If you need prayer, we're here for you. If you want prayer for someone in your family, would you come forward too and bring that request? And we'll gladly pray for them. If there's something in your heart, if there's something in your heart that's troubling you or something that you'd like to be prayed for, would you come at this time? And we'd like to pray for you. Coming to the Lord has never been meant to be difficult. In fact, He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So would you come for prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for how you lead us every day, how you teach us, how your presence is with us. And Lord, I pray that you will be the one to speak to people. Give us a mission statement that we can be passionate about. Give us direction. Speak to us, O Lord, in very personal and specific ways. How can we can live out our faith in you in ways that will be pleasing to you. Thank you for those who are here. May you continue to speak to us long after the worship service is over. And may you grant us, Lord, the strength, the courage, the boldness to talk to this lost world about you and what it's like to meet, know, and follow you. And how wonderful that is. May we be able to minister in an atmosphere of fun and joy, that our smiles would never dim because we know you as our Lord and Savior. And may the troubles of life never take away this joy in our heart of knowing you. Lord, I lift up to you my wife, who's in the hospital right now, preparing for her surgery next week. I pray that you would just be with her and grant her to be prepared well. Thank you that the prognosis is good. Lord, you are good. Life may be hard, but you are good. And your mercies never fail. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.